From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Robert Siegel. At a remote refuge in central Wisconsin, 10 young whooping cranes are being trained for a 1,200-mile flight to Florida this fall. Human pilots are doing the training, teaching the cranes which direction to fly and how to recognize their home from the air. Pilots in ultralight planes have already led successful migrations of Canada geese, trumpeter swans, and sandhill cranes. If they can get the same technique to work with a whooping crane, it could help efforts to get the bird off the endangered species list. Minnesota Public Radio's Mary Lozier reports.
Joe Duff is one of the pilots who pioneered ultralight guided bird migrations. Last fall, he helped lead a flock of non-endangered sandhill cranes from Wisconsin to Florida. This spring, scientists were thrilled when the sandhills made it back to Wisconsin on their own. Now Duff is confident he and others on his team can teach one of the world's rarest birds, the whooping crane, to make the same journey.
In all birds we've ever flown with, once migration starts, they seem to lock in, they seem to get the understanding, they seem to know what's happening.
The 10 young whooping cranes who will attempt the long flight were hatched this spring from the eggs of a small captive flock in Maryland. The baby cranes have never once heard a human voice or seen a human being who wasn't dressed in a crane costume. The first thing the chicks ever saw were a whooping crane puppet and an ultralight plane. Ever since then, the chicks have been the focus of an elaborate hoax to convince them that the ultralight and handlers dressed in crane costumes are their parents. In July, the young chicks were put in cardboard boxes and flown in a private plane to the Nisita Wildlife Refuge in Wisconsin, where they're now learning to fly.
When we're working with the birds, we can lead them with this.
Kelly McGuire, one of the young crane's handlers, whispers as she holds a puppet with a slender neck, long black beak, and white head topped with scarlet. It's a life-size replica of the head of an adult whooping crane. Out of sight and hearing of the young birds, she dons a billowing white robe with a hood that hides her own head and slips a tiny tape player into her hand.
This is a tape recording that we play for the chicks. Get their attention.
It's the sound of a parent whooping crane calling to its chicks. The young birds are waiting in a covered pen surrounded by marshland and forest in a part of the refuge closed to the public. Reporters can watch only from a camouflaged bunker built into a ridge. As the handlers skirt the ridge and approach the crane pen, Ranger Jennifer Raybuck ushers a reporter into the bunker. In the distance, a white V-shaped wing descends. The ultralight plane, piloted by Joe Duff in a crane costume, lands on a grassy runway.
What's that? That's the contact call the ultralight's playing, so when they open the doors, the chicks will run to the parent, which would be the ultralight in this particular case.
The gawky, long-legged chicks flap awkwardly after the plane. They still sport their brownish juvenile plumage and bear little resemblance to the magnificent 5-foot adults they will, with luck, become. They run almost on tiptoe, making short hops, before one bird manages to get aloft and follow the plane for a few dozen yards. With the handlers in their flowing costume, the scene looks like a surreal puppet play. But it's one that must be repeated day after day. And Duff says everything depends upon making sure the cranes never know there are humans inside the costumes.
That costume is a source of security. It's a source of food. It's a source of camaraderie. And if they connect that to humans, then we're in trouble.
Duff and the others will teach the cranes to make longer and longer flights and to recognize the wildlife refuge from the air. This fall, they'll guide them on the 40-day trip to a Florida refuge. There, the team will leave the cranes to spend the winter as wild birds and find their own way back to Wisconsin next spring. If enough of the young cranes survive the round trip and learn to live in the wild, they could form what would be only the second flock of wild migrating whooping cranes in the world. That would help ensure the future of a species that was once so close to extinction there were only 16 birds left. And it could mean that for the first time in more than a century, the graceful courting dances of wild whooping cranes may be seen in Wisconsin marshes the birds once called home. For NPR News, I'm Mary Lozier at the Nisita Wildlife Refuge.